And Stan, once you got your place there, John chapter 11, verse 25, 26, still going through the Gospel of John outline and looking at the witnesses already, looking at the I am statements now, then we'll look at the miracles, trying to prove and show that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God and God Almighty. We've talked already about I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door, I'm the good shepherd. Now we're on the resurrection and the life, the resurrection and the life. And we're at John chapter 11, and we're going to read two verses, verses 25, 26, picking up where we left off last week. What we're trying to do here first, before we actually kind of delve into application practically, is getting into the mind of Mary and Martha. And trying to understand why they responded the way they did. How many would say you're more like Martha? How many say you're more like Mary? The rest of y'all like Lazarus then, right? Amen. Hopefully not. Amen. All right, John chapter 11. And let's read two verses, 25 and 26. Let's read those together. Here we go. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Father, now as we look again at Martha and Mary, and to see why they responded the way they did, and then ultimately getting to the place where, Lord, you had that statement, I am the resurrection and the life, would help us to find out some more jewels and some more gems into the heart and the mind of Mary and Martha and the proceedings going on here with the Jews and those that are involved in this. And help us to see our own selves where we reside at in this whole area, Lord, and where our belief is and where our belief should be. And then, Lord, help us to effectively make the changes that you would have us to make when it comes to our belief and what you can do in our lives. Bless now again, Lord, as we are faced with the word of God, help us to live differently than when we came in, more knowledgeable about what you want to do with us, what you can do for us, God, and ultimately what we can do by your power and your grace and your strength for the glory of God. Work in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Last week, we looked a little bit at Martha and Mary and this whole passage area starting in verse number one. And we're stepping down here to kind of set the mood and set the tone and kind of see what's going on here. Martha has more activity going on here than Mary. And we'll find out why in just a minute. Amen. But just to get us where we need to be, notice verse 25 again. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What is the translation there? Basically, even if a person dies physically, they can live spiritually and eternally. That's really the application of what Jesus is saying there. When you come down to verse number 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth me shall never die, believest thou this? What he's saying there is whoever believes, whosoever lives physically and believes in me shall never die spiritually nor eternally. That's in essence what he's saying. That's what he's getting them to believe with what's going on here. But let's go back up to where we were at last week and give you some catch up here talking about where we came from. Verses 1 through 3, we found the message that was given. And actually, this question, it said that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. But yet and still, if he loved them, what would you expect him to do? Come, right? Amen. Because they came to Jesus and they said, hey, he whom thou lovest is sick. And Jesus kind of like, uh-huh. And guess what he did? Absolutely nothing. How do you feel when you pray to God, Jesus, and he does absolutely nothing about your situation? Don't you get a little perturbed a little bit? Come on, y'all saying, well, no, I don't. I'm spiritual. You get upset. You're thinking, what is he waiting for? Notice what it says down there. It says down there, verse 3, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, here's the message, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is what? Sick. And Jesus did absolutely nothing. Amen. So verses 1 through 3 was the message. And the motive was down there in verse 4. Notice what Jesus said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So Jesus said, this is not unto death. This is not going to be the end of it. What did they think? Was this the end of it in their eyes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we found out verse 5, love is not in question, because Jesus in verse 3, it said he loved them. So we should never question Jesus' love. And I mentioned this last week, but do we question Jesus' love?
Yes.
We all do. Lord, if you loved me, you would whatever. All right, amen. Hey, y'all been there before? Lord, I know you love me, so why don't you whatever? Amen. And so we saw that last week as well. Love is not in question. Lingering is in question in verse number 6. He was waiting. He abode 2 days still, it said there in verse number 6. And then we saw the movement of Jesus starting in verse number 7. We saw verse 8, there was some danger waiting for him. They said that they're going to stone you if you go back down there, so don't do it. Verse number 9, we saw his defense. He said, look, I've got to go down there. I am the light of the world, and so I need to get down there and work my work. Verse 11, we saw his duty. His job is to go and wake Lazarus up. And then we looked at the euphemism for sleep. What does it mean to sleep as a Christian last week? To die. Is that permanent death?
No.
That's why they call it sleep. What happens when people go to sleep? What do they ultimately do? Wake up. Amen. Until you don't anymore. Amen. But ultimately, when you sleep, you wake up. And so he said, I'm going to wake Lazarus up out of his sleep. And so we saw the duty of Jesus, but then their dullness in verses 12 and 13, they thought, well, if he's sleeping, he's going to do well, so you might as well leave him alone. Amen. Y'all heard the term, let sleeping dogs lie? How many of y'all are like that? If somebody wake you up, you ready to bite them? Amen. My sons are that way. Joshua's more placid when he wakes up. Joshua, wake up. He just wake up. G2 wakes up like this. Faith wakes up like this. And they give me a bad rap. They say when I go in to wake up Faith, I say, Faithy poo, wake up. And I go in their room, boys, get up. Well, they know I don't do that. I open up the shades, I let the sun in, and they feel like they're Count Dracula. Oh! But anyway, they think that he's sleeping. Notice verse 12. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do how? Well, howbeit Jesus speak of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. So their dullness. Then look at Lazarus's death there. And plainly, he gave the facts in verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them, plainly, Lazarus is what? He's dead. Amen. Their faith is called into question, verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Now, would you think Jesus to be heartless when he said that? I'm glad I wasn't there. You just said you loved him, and now you're saying you're glad you weren't there. Jesus, don't you care? Don't we get that way? We do. We do. And we know we do. I'm glad I wasn't there. But notice what he says. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may what? Believe. What is he wanting them to believe? That he truly is the Son of God, that he truly is the resurrection and the life, and that he truly can raise Lazarus from the dead. By the way, if he can raise Lazarus from the dead, he can do anything. He truly is God. And so we looked at their faith there. And then the finish, Thomas's faith is called into question, verse 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. How many think he's being facetious there, saying, yeah, we're going to get killed. We're dead. Notice verse 8. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And if they're going to stone Jesus, who is Jesus's companions? Thomas is full of faith, isn't he? He said, we might as well go and die with him. If he's dead, we're going to die as well. So, you know, your friend is dead whom you love. The 12 whom you say you love, we're dead too. Amen. And you're dead. We're all dead. Amen. Let's just end it right now. Amen. And so we saw the finish there. But then notice verse 17, the moment. Finally, Jesus is going to make it there. And I want us to notice some things about these next several verses here that I think will be kind of interesting and kind of a door into our own hearts and to our own souls as to why Martha and Mary responded the way they did. Notice down here in verse number 17, the moment. Notice what it says here. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave how many days? 4 days already. How do we respond to Jesus when he doesn't answer our prayers right away? Now, it's 4 days. Are we happy campers? Should we be happy campers? Shouldn't Jesus know what's best for us? What are 3 ways that that Jesus answers our prayers? Yes, no, wait. What do we take wait as most times? No. And then what do? We give up. And when we give up on Jesus answering our prayers, what do we oftentimes do? We try to do it ourselves. Well, God, since you won't answer it, let me move this mountain here. Amen. That's what we normally do. So, notice some things about these next couple verses here, verses 18, 19. Notice this. It had been 4 days, verse 18. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And notice this. And many of the Jews came. So everybody else came, but guess who didn't come? Jesus didn't come. Well, God, I've got all the fellowship of the Christians, but you're not coming. Well, I've got everybody else helping me, but you're not lifting a finger. Don't we get that way sometimes? We do. Seems like everybody else is attending to our business but Jesus. It says, many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to what? To comfort them concerning their brother, but Jesus, the one whom loves them, is not there. Interesting. And so oftentimes, if the truth be known, we question Jesus' love because everybody else is seeming to minister to me, but not Jesus. Could it be that Jesus uses others to minister to us? Could it be? But we count Jesus unfaithful. Many came, but then notice this in verse number 20. It says down there, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, did what? Went and met him. Two things going on here, but Mary sat still in the house. Why did Martha meet Jesus and why did Mary sit still? He dead now, huh? Amen. Does this go with their character?
Well, I think Mary already knew maybe Jesus was going to do something special. So she wasn't surprised.
Right.
She wasn't so worried, but Martha was worried about what was
going to happen. Could be. Yes, ma'am.
Mary had accepted the plan that God was going to
Possible. Now, notice something here. Hold your finger there. Go back to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter number 10. And we saw this in Sunday school. Luke chapter 10, verse 39. Verse 38, I'm sorry. It says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered, this is Jesus, into a certain village, and a certain woman named who? Martha received him, who's him, Jesus, into her house, and she had a sister called who? Mary, which also did what? Sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. What did it say back in John chapter 11 and verse 20 that Mary did? But Mary sat still in the house. Now notice verse number 40. But Martha was what? Cumbered about much serving and came to him and did what? Came to him. Where is Mary sitting? At the feet of Jesus. Where is Martha? Coming to Jesus. What happens with Lazarus' death? Who came to meet Jesus? Martha went to get him. And where was Mary? Sitting still in the house. Let's continue back here in Luke. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not what? Care that my sister hath left me to serve alone. Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which should not be taken away from her. So go back to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 20 again. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, what did she do? She went and met him. What did she do in Luke? Went to meet him. But Mary sat still in the house. What did she do back in Luke? She sat at the feet of Jesus. So what's going on here? You've got one that's got a character that's busy. Another has a character of not being busy, but being at the feet of Jesus. One's a burden, one wants to receive a blessing. One is being, and one is busy. Question, which one would you have been if you were there? Would you be Martha, or would you be the Mary? I'd be honest, I'd be the Martha. Jesus, I wouldn't know where you were at. My son died. Where were you at? What's it to you? I would be the Martha. I probably would not be the Mary sitting content and just waiting on the Lord. Amen. Inspect your own heart. Which one would you be? Would you be the Martha or would you be the Mary? Because it's in our character. And by the way, it's what we do most of the time. Now, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's in our character. We need some Martha and we need some Mary in us. But there's a balance that we've got to have. But when you look at this, Martha, true to her character, she went to go meet Jesus. Mary is sitting at her feet. Why? Martha's more of a doer. Mary is more of a meditator and a minister at the feet of Jesus. Amen. I would be the Martha. I've got to confess, that's my character. Notice how she questions the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. How many believe that's true? Wouldn't it be kind of hard for Jesus to be right there and say he loves them and not heal the one whom he loved? Wouldn't it be kind of hard? It would be. So in essence, she has a point. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. But wait a minute. Go back up to verse 15. And what did Jesus say? I'm glad for your sakes that I was what? I wasn't there. Because if I was there, I would have been obligated to show my love by raising him up. But I'm glad I wasn't there because I want to prove and trust and raise up your faith to another level. Tell you something, sometimes Jesus has got to do that to us. Sometimes he's got to do some things in our lives to raise our faith up to another level. And if he answered our prayer when we wanted it answered, our faith wouldn't be increased and it wouldn't be raised to another level. And sometimes he's got to test us and try us and prove us to see where we're at. And oftentimes we have to see where we're at. And so they had to see where they were at. And so when it comes down here, Mary's questioning with him. She said, hey, he had not died, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. So she said, if you had been here, past tense, he wouldn't have died. But I know even now, present tense, whatever you ask, God's gonna give it thee. What is she getting to? I know you can raise him back up. Notice verse 23. Jesus kind of quiets her fears. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And notice how Martha's questioning, how can I say this? She's going to agree. Her affirmation, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection when? At the last day. Now, what did she just say down there in verse 22? But I know that even when? Now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will what? Give it thee. She said, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. So she's going back to the past. If you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. But now if you ask it, he'll give it to you. Jesus said he's going to rise again. She said, well, I know down the road he's going to rise. God, I know you can do this. I know you can do that. I know you can bring all these things to pass, but will you? And notice what happens here. At the last day, Jesus said unto her, I am the what? The resurrection and the life. Mary says, I know you can do this, but will you do it? He says, I am the resurrection. I am the one that can bring the dead back to life. And I can give you physical life as well as spiritual life, as well as eternal life. And he said, the conditions are in verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth, he said, if you're alive and if you believe, if you're physically living and if you physically believe, you will never die spiritually nor eternally. And notice what she comes back with in verse 27. She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Did she answer his question? No, she didn't. Did she believe that he could do it? At the end, when everybody else is raised. But she said, even now, if you ask, I know you'll get it. Folks, we've got to have that type of faith. And I'm so glad that Jesus didn't really, he didn't dog her out. He didn't dog her out. He didn't throw her under the bus, if you would. Notice down there, verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Who's coming now?
Mary.
She's coming because she believes Jesus called for her. Notice the difference. One goes to Jesus and said, hey, look, if you weren't here, one waits to be called for. Which one are we? The one that says, Lord, this is what I want you to do. But we can't order Jesus around. Mary waits till she's called and then she goes thinking she's been called by him. Folks, sometimes we got to just sit still and trust God that he knows what he's doing. We may not understand it, but we've got to trust that he knows what he's doing. Does Jesus know what he's doing all throughout this? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Verse 39, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Of course, he goes down there, verse 34, and said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then you come down to verse 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he what? Stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Did not Jesus say he could raise him? You think Jesus is going to raise somebody that stinks? Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest what? Believe. Thou shouldest what? See the glory of God. Jesus, of course, prays down there in verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may what? Believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, how? Bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things which Jesus did believed on him. Of course, you know, the Pharisees don't like that. And so they're going to try to kill Jesus. Resurrection then is a standing up again, a resurrection from the dead, or a moral recovery of a life. One of the things that I want us to look at next week is going to be three things that I believe that we can apply this principle to in our own lives. Because when Jesus talks about resurrection, physically we are resurrected, but spiritually we are as well. What does the Bible say? We have a new life. Leave you with this verse here. Go over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. We're going to close Ephesians chapter 2. Because next week I want us to see three things that I believe this is a principle application to. Ephesians chapter 2. And notice verse number 1. And the Bible says here, and you hath he what? Quickened. That word quickened means made alive. So in other words, spiritually, we were spiritually dead and our lives had to be resurrected. And you hath he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sin, verse number 5, even when we were what? Dead in sins. What was Lazarus physically? Dead in his body. But what did Jesus do? Revived his body or resurrected his body. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are what? Saved. Amen. So three things next week I want us to look at that may need to be resurrected, principally speaking, when we come down to this, because we know that spiritually Jesus Christ gives us a new life. We're resurrected in our spirit because our spirit was dead and we get eternal life. But guess what? We're not dead physically yet. And there's certain things that went with our old life that were grave clothes. And God gives us what we would call grace clothes. And so he said, what? Loose him and let him go. Some things we have to let loose of for this new life to be resurrected in us. Three simple things we'll look at next week, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. Amen. But the main thing is, how do you respond to Jesus when he doesn't do what you think he ought to do? How do you respond? Are we like Mary and we want to go and charge Jesus and say, this is what you should have did? Or are we more like Martha and we sit back and say, Lord, whatever you want to do, do it. Folks, I think there's some of both of us at times going on. And God wants that balance. He wants us to have faith and trust that he's going to do what is right to do. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Lord, thank you that we get a glimpse of Martha and Lord, a glimpse of Mary. And Lord, that there is some Martha in all of us, I believe, and some Mary in all of us. Lord, help us get the balance of what we need to do. And Lord, when you're working a work in our lives, help us not to question what it is that you're doing, but Lord, just trust that you are doing what you need to do in our lives to make us more like you. Lord, change us and conform us and transform us into the image of Christ's likeness. Thank you so much for loving us. Lord, meet our need and help us to be what you want us to be. Dismiss us with your blessings. Give us safety in our travel. Lord, help us to be all that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.